Well, do you have a story you want to share with us or a question for Bloody Mary as we talk about Bloody Mary's Guide to Hauntings, Horrors, and Dancing with the Dead? I'm not sure I'd dance. Well, you know what? I might dance with the dead. I just might. Okay, welcome back to Coast. This is the time, the interactive portion of the program. We'll take your phone calls and stories with Bloody Mary here as we talk about the spirit world. Her book, of course, is called Hauntings, Horrors, and Dancing with the Dead. And I assume you can get this book on Amazon. Where else, Bloody?
Yes, you can. You get it on Amazon. You get it at Barnes and Nobles. You can get it from me on my website, and all over town. We have so many different stores that are carrying it. I mean, it just came out. It was a little early release for Mardi Gras, which was this week, just a few days ago.
How did that go down there?
It was really nice. It was good
Good.
weather. It was crowded, but not over the top. It was a good Mardi Gras this year.
Well, you know what? The city needed that. They needed that.
And the spirits, by the way, they love Mardi Gras. We have more people, we have more spirits, and they costume too.
Do
I've
you
got great
see
pictures.
spirits or feel them?
Sometimes I see them, sometimes I hear them, sometimes I smell them, sometimes I photograph them. It's about both sender and receiver. So not all spirits can be seen, or I might be able to see them. So sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. It's always different.
Do you ever get to a
Yeah.
point where you say, it's too much, get away from me?
I have a long time ago. That was before that was the point that I realized, okay, and you'll like this analogy. It's like a radio station, okay?
All
If you
right.
had all the channels all at once, you'd never be able to really get the information from any of them specifically, right? You just have a bunch of blurb. If you don't learn how to tune your channel and get it exactly where you need it to be, the chatter of everything will just be overload. You have to set boundaries and you have to set a time. So I'll say, okay, this is the time. Now I'm doing this. This is our time. This is my time. You have to set the boundaries, and or else it can be overload. Absolutely. You have to be grounded.
What do you think the spirit world is? I mean, is that loaded
What?
with dead people? What is it?
Not only, there are many different dimensions of different life forms. And different categories, I suppose, of people. I mean, some could be nature spirits that were never in human form. Some were once human. There's a stratas of different life forces out there that interact and interplay. And so I like to say the spirit worlds with plural and different dimensions. It's not everyone wandering lost and not knowing where they're going, and oh, woe is me stuff. You know? Some of them have very specific jobs, like the concept of ascended masters in their field that might stay to help other people in their field get to a particular progress point to maybe make a discovery, or sometimes it's more, mundane, and you might just have your spirit mothers that help children that are, dying or dead that'll help them on the other side. I mean, there's a lot of jobs, there's a lot of levels.
You're not afraid of dying. You're not in a rush to get there, of course, but.
I'm definitely not in a rush. No, as I said, I'm working on living first, but I'm not afraid of it per se. I don't, I'm not ready for it, but I'm not afraid. I help a lot of people when they're going through the process, a little bit of dying, and I have a lot of people that I help connect with their loved ones or help them to learn how to be patient and set up areas and maybe learn to auto write to develop a new relationship. It's got to be a new relationship.
What do you
It's
say?
not going to be the
What do you
same.
say, Mary, to non-believers?
Non-believers, just wait.
Just wait it out.
Just wait. You're young or you're stubborn, one or the other. There's too much out there. There's too many stories. There's too many people. That have the story about their great uncle that came by to help them when something was going on here, or
Oh,
when
I know
so and
it.
so was passing, or when the house was going to catch on fire. To know that there are spirit guards and guides out all over the
You'll
areas
probably get a
for you.
couple of
Just
those
wait
calls tonight.
and be open, and be open. Don't be so stubborn about it. There's so much we don't know about the world around there. Let it flow.
What do you think of curses? Are they real? Do they happen?
I think so, yes. And I think more of them happen 9 to 5 in three-piece suits in the offices than anywhere else.
Those are the curses.
There's so much backstabbing. And, you know, you ever been in a job or a situation where, like, everybody didn't like you or the judge, and they're all just, like, focused all their negative
energy? No, I've been lucky. I've been lucky about that.
You've been lucky?
Yeah.
But you know how certain jobs, people want to get rid of somebody or they want their job, they'll just be all ganged up against them. You know, so that collective energy of negative thought can actually create something that starts to wear at you. Now, that's, you know, especially if there's a collective aspect of that. Then there's people that sit there and focus harm towards others, which is even more directed. Now, these things can affect you. Can they kill you? Probably not. You know, and a lot of times we cross ourselves up. We step into trouble and we do this or that, and we make our own curses.
All right, let's take
occasional bloodline curse, you know.
What's the bloodline curse?
You know, that somebody said my whole family's cursed and it was passed down from,
like, the Kennedys. They were cursed.
I suppose so. They have a pretty good amount of information about them dying. Yeah, that's true, you know.
Okay, let's take
it's
some calls
possible.
Here for you. Let's go to Eric, truck driving in Wyoming, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Eric. Get us started.
Hey. Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
George, first of all, I got a question for you before I get in my story.
Sure.
Along with it. Back in 2007, I was going to school in Arizona for audio engineering, and I got field recording of what I believe is a Navajo ghost. And I was wondering if it's possible that I could send you a clip of that.
Oh, sure. George at coasttocoastam.com.
All right. I'll do that as soon as the next home time hits.
Okay.
Now, going off of the story, like I said, I was out there doing field recording, and, there was nobody out there. It was just me and a buddy. We're just kind of getting the sounds of streams and nature and stuff out there, and I go back home, and I see these weird clips, and when I send it to you, you'll hear this clip. You can hear the two of us in the background.
Okay.
There's the sound of water. And then all of a sudden you hear the sound that sounds like a heavy sigh. Like, it's really creepy. But a little bit past that, I was doing this freelance job, and I was traveling with another gentleman out somewhere in the desert. And we happened to decide to take a break. And we were kind of just out in the middle of nowhere, kind of walking around and looking at the ground, saw, you know, some cool rocks and stuff. I wanted to take some. First, I knew that the area I was in was very heavily spiritual, so I asked the spirits that were out there if it was all right if I took some rocks with me. And what I believed was that the answer was yes. But since then, it seems like these rocks have had kind of a negative effect. It seems like I just get random pockets of bad luck, but it's usually only when those rocks are with me.
Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Cleanse.
So I'm kind of wondering too, maybe Mary, if you know, ideally, now that I'm truck driving, I'd like to get back to that area in order to restore them back to their home place. But I'm kind of wondering if there's any chance or maybe any herbs that I could carry along with me to kind of appease these spirits.
First of all, in my studies and my practice, I would never take something without giving something. Therefore, I would have given the herbs or food or liquor or whatever it was prior to taking the rocks. It's an exchange. So that would have helped, you know, the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everything is because of the rocks or not. But sure, you can bring something back. If it was Native American Indian, bring good tobacco. You know, just buy some natural tobacco because that was very sacred to the Native Americans. And you put the tobacco there, and you can even burn the tobacco so they get the smell of it. The aroma is part of it. So I would give tobacco, a kinnick-kinnick, which is, you can get that, I think, in the American spirit. So I would give tobacco, or you could make a, you know, meal, and you can just, you know, put them back. You can cleanse them in holy water under the full moon as well to take away any negativity. But, you know, a lot of that could be projection. We get bad luck all the time, you know, happens. doesn't mean it's necessarily because of that, but, you know, it could be. And if you feel that way, put them back. Absolutely.
It truly...
If they take something from now on, give something.
It truly sounds like you want to be friends with these spirits.
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, we all should. I mean, they're part... We share the world together. They can help create balance in nature, and you know, we're supposed to be working together, not against each other. That goes for humans too, but the humans haven't learned it either, right? The living ones. But we're supposed to be working together on this planet. I absolutely believe the ancestors are there. His early story, he's like, okay, so you got an EVP and you got a sign. It was really creepy. Man, if we're talking right now and I go, would that sound creepy? It's only because you didn't.
Depends on who it came from.
Right. I mean, you know, it's not creepy in and of itself until you put that projection on top of it.
Right.
It was just a sigh. You know, it's like, so we have to watch where we go, our thoughts and things. But, you know, if you feel, when I was in Hawaii and doing work with the spirits there, they all were making fun of, I think it was the Brady Bunch, who had started the rumor that if you took any volcanic rock from Hawaii that you could get in trouble and Pele would be angry. They say the post office is inundated with tons of lava rock sent back all year long because the people swear that they have bad luck since they had it.
Wow.
That was never part of their legend, that taking any rock was bad. It came from a TV show. It was all the people's minds about it. They said, take all the lava you want. We've got more we can deal with. We can't stop making it. Take it, take it. So it's not cursed in and of itself. You know, it's what we're putting on it.
Have you ever personally,
you remember that Brady Bunch show?
Have you ever personally been scared to a point where you didn't want to do it anymore? You wanted out?
I think a very long time ago, I had a negative astral travel when I was about 18 or 19. And I blocked for a while. And I said, okay, I'm not going back there. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, I kind of blocked a lot and then slowly kind of reopened it little by little. So there was a few things that, but that, I don't get like so scared. Sometimes I'm tired and I know that if I'm run down or overworked, I shouldn't be doing a particular battle for someone else. But if it's to protect my family or to protect my town or myself, you know, I won't back down. No, I'll take care of it.
Go to Tom in the Bronx now. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes. First, I'd like to say that one time when you do a program, look into the Blue People of America. I don't know whether you ever knew in Memphis, Tennessee, when the French came over, they brought noble people with them and that ran the colony, and they were blue because there was an enzyme in the body that didn't exist that governs the color of a person's skin. But that would be an interesting program for you to do.
Okay, go ahead.
A lot of them went to Kentucky, I think, when the Indians had an uprising. They didn't want the colony any bigger.
Blue people.
Then the French army came over and destroyed a lot of the tribe there, if not all of them. I don't know. But anyway, I'd like to say this. In New Orleans, do they ever practice black magic in New Orleans?
I'm sure someone does. It's all over. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, that's such a open term. Is there anyone here that does anything dark? I'm sure they're all over the place. You know, it's not something that's open that people talk about that I would know. But there are good and bad in every religion and every aspect all around. So I'm sure there's a couple of, you know, people that focus only on that. We hopefully don't have too many, but I'm sure it exists.
A lot of people think of black magic, too, as satanic, devil worshippers. I think a lot
I
of that is mis...
I don't personally know any Satanists, but I'm sure they exist here. They're not in a, you know, overt, out in the open that everybody knows, you know, that the Satanists are here or not here. Doesn't mean that the Satanists are necessarily even the one throwing dark magic. There's a lot of ceremonialists and just regular Joes or people that are trying to... People that think they could only make their mark in the world by taking from others and therefore, you know, more or less, you know, stealing
sure.
Other people's good mojo, let's say. But it's not part of it. I mean, just because there's spirit activity and openness in folk magic and witchcraft and voodoo, everybody here is trying to basically find a harmony within the world. And hopefully that's the way we'll stay.
You're an expert on haunted bars. I guess with a name like Bloody Mary, you should be, right?
Yes. I don't drink Bloody Mary, though.
You don't?
I'm related to Queen Mary I, who is also known as Bloody Mary.
What the heck are haunted bars?
What the hell are haunted bars? Well, they're bars that have ghosts. Spirits love spirits, I always say. I do a toast to the ghosts. They like the socialization, the smell of the liquor and the food like they did in life. So where I meet most of my tours is the oldest bar in the country, very haunted, Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop Bar. It's like the late 1700s that it was made. And I've got pictures of ghosts pulling up on horseback and pirates at the end of the bar with pirate hats on their head and all. And I've seen them and felt them and heard them, and they go in and they out and, you know, and walk up and down Bourbon Street with the rest of them.
Did people die there?
A lot of haunted bars. Now, see, that's such a misnomer. The person doesn't, I'm sure somebody's died there. But a person doesn't have to die in a place in order for it to be haunted. It's really where you lived at, where you grew up, where you went to school, favorite vacation spots, where you leave the most energy. I mean, you'll probably haunt your radio chair there, wherever you are. That's your station, even though you're not going to probably die in that chair, you know?
Well, you never know. There have been some nights, there are some nights I have died in this chair, Mary.
But, you know, like you spend so much time there, and energy that you left there, it would be a place where your spirit might just gravitate to go back naturally, forget that you don't have to punch the clock and go to work, and you go to work. So a lot of times it's where you grew up. It doesn't have to be any devastating death about the hauntings. That's the Hollywood projection that it has to be that.
Have you come across sad ghost stories?
Yes. Yes.
They've got to be heartbreaking.
I have got a very sad one that makes people cry in my book, but I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
I don't want to cry right now.
There's about a little boy, little children's spirit. That was a little.
I can't handle those little children ghost stories. They're just very, they're sad.
Because they're creepy?
They're creepy. They've got them all.
But you don't have to feel bad about it, because 9 times out of 10, when I see the children ghosts, they are playing. They are happy. They're in the trees. They're giggling. They're running. If I do school groups, I have them play hide-and-seek with the ghosts and let them entertain and have fun. So sometimes they just come back here for recess.
Hide-and-seek with a ghost? I bet the ghost wins all the time.
Yeah, isn't that like they have an unfair advantage, granted.
Yeah.
But it's still fun, and you can hear sometimes the giggling and the tapping of other little feet that aren't there. So,
okay, we're coming back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast. We're going to take your final phone calls. And share your stories with us, too. Maybe something happened in the house that you were living in. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We send you little messages all the time. And definitely sign up for our free Coast newsletter by going to coasttocoastam.com. Look for Coast Zone. Okay, I'm going to be on assignment tomorrow. Jimmy Church filling in for me, our dear colleague. I was with Jimmy, by the way, at the Alien Snowfest last weekend. Had a great time up there. Lots of great coast-to-coast listeners. So Jimmy will be here, and then I'll be back on Monday, of course. And we're going to come back in a moment and take your final calls with Bloody Mary. Welcome back, Bloody Mary, with us. We're going to take your calls. And, Mary, before we take calls, I'm going to grab you for one more horror story. If you could pull from your book, share it with us.
Okay. Bibliomancy again. Still with Madame Laurie. She was just taking over. Let's find something better.
And I need you to talk into your phone, though. Can you hear me?
Okay, Hitchhikers in My Haunted House.
Okay.
So you would ask, it goes with, did I have had a cleanse? So yes, when I first moved here, the house came with spirits, and I took some of my work home with me.
You did.
And it wasn't until my kids started to complain that I did something about it. For me, I was used to it. He said, make them go away. And I said, who? And he said, the ghost. And I said, are they hurting you? Said, no, they just won't let me sleep. They're jumping on the bed. They're all... I was like, okay. So I did a cleansing, and this is I used dragon's blood resin and copal and ground it together and went to every window and every door and every transom 32 all in one, and I pushed out the spirits and not the ones that lived here, the squatters. And I said they didn't have to go home, but they couldn't stay here. And I went from all the windows and all around and went to sleep, or tried to. I had 32 windows, and it was as if there were at least four at each window with some form of metallic or pennies or something in their hand, tapping in unison, in surround sound, for 8 hours.
8 hours?
And I would, all night. And I would have just said, okay, come on in, shut up, I want to go to sleep. But no, you bother my kid, it's a different story. Totally different story. Protective mom comes to the rescue, whatever. And then things seemed okay. About a month or so later, kid comes running in. Mom, I just came out of the attic. And a very hard to pull down attic door opened on its own. And he saw something kind of reach through. And he comes running. And I went, I forgot to do the attic. So I went and put some holy oil on the four corners of the attic door and some other protections and things as well. When I told that story, I think it did go through then. Just how did that voiceover change to Mary trapped evil spirits in her attic to terrorize her son? Now, that is not what happened, but that's how it got translated.
That's the perception.
They were not evil. They were annoying. And annoying is different than evil, but equally as disturbing sometimes. You know, too much of anything. But I've learned to set boundaries, like don't hurt my friend. So don't wake me up unless it's important. Stop taking the keys. Kick anybody's butt that comes in that wants to do me harm. You know, so protect the house when we go away. You set your boundaries, what you can do and what you can't do. And they are a very good alarm system. They are very good.
That's cool. All right, let's take final calls. International line, Laura's in Calgary, out there in Canada. Hello, Laura.
Oh, hi there, both of you.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi. I have a kind of a two-part question. It's as you're talking about, negativity or places that are haunted and so on, and let's say you try to avoid them, but you're on a bus or you're in a crowded public place, you rub against people who may have been who knows where and have who knows what attached to them. Is that just that casual, transient being close to people or rubbing against them? Does anything kind of transfer onto you, and can you cleanse it if it does?
Well, first of all, you should never be concerned about things like that, because the concern just opens you up to more stuff. But yes, I mean, there are, just like germs can get on you, some things can get on you, but it's not going to happen that often. It also depends on you. Be grounded in who you are, your spirituality, yourself. You know, if you keep grounded and you have your own spiritual protections around you, whether you're wearing an amulet, whether you make yourself an aura, you know, protective armor, you know, when you go out, put it on before you leave. Take it off, though. Don't live with this stuff on you and hang it at your door. We should all do spiritual cleansing. This century and last, people might wash their hair more and take more showers, but they don't do as many things like salt baths and smudge aura brushings and things, because we do pick up things just daily walking around. As I mentioned before, you don't have to be in a ghost hunt for that to happen. It could be anywhere. So just do your spiritual cleansings and your physical on a regular basis, and you will be fine.
What do you do around Halloween, Bloody Mary?
Work.
Is it a busy season for you?
Yes, it's the busiest season. Busy. Both spiritually and on the physical realm. I do hundreds of weddings. Everybody wants to get married to Halloween. You know,
yeah.
So I do a lot of weddings. I do a lot of ghost tours. I do some parties here and there. So, it all depends on the year. But, yeah, we're very busy. So it's definitely the one time of the year that people say is an active time that it actually is. You know, they'll say all solstices and all equinoxes. Not really. You know, and not more on a full moon than a new moon. But Halloween's pretty consistent at it being the thin time of the veil for spirits to wander back and forth. So usually always a good time to connect with loved ones, spirits, and things. Absolutely.
Now, when you say you do weddings, you're not an ordained minister. You don't marry them.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, you are.
Yes, I am.
Perfect.
Oh, yes, I'm a official voodoo priestess. I can baptize you, marry you, and bury you, too.
Wow.
I have the privileges of clergy in every respect. So
you're self-contained.
Mambo Asagwe. Yeah, I do it all. I do tons of weddings. Yes.
Let's go to first-time caller Rob in Indiana now. Hey, Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, George, and thank you for this half of the show here.
Sure.
I have a question for Mary. Saw you on Ghost Adventures, and a few things you said, I was real curious as to your thoughts on those shows, because I see them as being pretty much rude, disrespectful, and sometimes even abusive to these entities or spirits. And just want to see what your thoughts are on that.
That is very bad. And I said it earlier, I do not believe in provoking spirits. If something attacks you, sure, protect yourself, but don't go in. If I came banging on your front door, running in while you're in dinner, and punch you in the face and call you names, and you defend yourself and then say, see how evil that was? That was you reacting. You know, I have a long fuse, let's say, and I have a soft.
But when it ignites, look out, right?
That's right. Different weird things happen. But, yeah, don't mess with me. But, you know, I'm very nice, and I turn the other cheek, and I would never believe in abusing spirits. But, again, I would block in a heartbeat if you were trying to hurt anyone that I was with. You know, I'm very protective. But, no, I do believe most of the – they're trying to get a quick response for TV, and I don't
think
the spirit should be a trained seal that have to jump up and down. But I said, if they show up, they show up. If they don't, they don't. For example, the show that I did, I very ceremonially went and called the four corners of the spirits that are here and this and that, and I gave them the food and this. And I do what I, you know, say hello to the names that I know of the house spirits and blah, blah, blah. And then out of the corner, they say, and the malevolent ones, too? It's like, and then they say, stuff happened, and why? It's like, you called in darkness. I wouldn't do that. There's enough darkness in the world, you know, that we accidentally bump into. Why would you call for it, you know? Maybe there's... But no, I do not believe that you should be like that at all.
Let's go west of the Rockies now. Prudence is with us from Ogden, Utah. Hello, Prudence.
Hello. I've always tried to learn a little more about all these things, and it seems like it's almost impossible.
Nah, you can learn.
When I was in my very early 70s, I joined a spiritualist church. I had gone because it was a lecture, and it was so interesting and felt so good there that I kept going. My husband, too. And at one point, I had a spiritualist friend who was very, very capable and taught us a lot, but she became ill, and I just didn't learn much after that. Can you tell me, out of here, there's no spiritualist church at all. There's no one to discuss these matters with. It's a whole other thing. But in that time frame, I had a spirit friend, and this is, it was like living with a wonderful 15 or 16-year-old kid who liked to play little tricks. And funny, not mean ones.
I call them my foster children.
Oh, really? Well, it was wonderful, but it lasted 3 or 4 years. And then my spiritualist friend finally explained it. Apparently, he was newly... How he got my attention was on a very warm August evening. My husband and I were both just getting into bed when the furnace kicked on. And I thought, what in the world? And I went into the other room. The only way I can contact, have anything to do back and forth with anything is with a pendulum. I have no abilities of any kind. But it was such an enjoyable thing.
Named one.
Because the first thing I asked
you just named an ability. You know.
Well,
don't block your own stuff. We all have different ways that we connect. If your pendulum works, work your pendulum. You just set your boundaries and go to the area. If you miss your friend that was there, as I will call him, a foster child, go to the area, call by name, put out a cookie, put out a glass of milk, put out whatever it is that you think that they would like, give them some strength, sit down, do some automatic writing, work with your pendulum, be patient, and reestablish the relationship. Ask them if they need help or if they want to help you, and see if you can make it work.
Mary, why does it seem like the spirits want to get involved in our lives?
Boredom.
You think so?
I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as that. I say that sometimes they follow you home because you look like somebody they know in life. sometimes it's because your bloodline connected, and they can see that through you, even though you can't see that through them. They can see beyond your flesh and blood. Well, like see your bloodline, you know. Sometimes it's because they have something they could help you with, or that they know that you have something you could help them with, and it's a relationship. Sometimes they're looking for a place to live, like maybe that foster child just wanted to be adopted by a nice couple, you know, wanted to be feel loved a little while, and then went on to different areas. I mean, there's a thousand and one reasons, just like you. Why would you become friends with this person sitting at the end of the bar instead of the other person at the end of the bar? What attracts you one way more than the other? It's not always just looks. It's personality. It's, you know, energy. They can see a lot more of that. So, yes, they lived here once. They want to, whether they're coming on a vacation or needing a place to live or just taking, you know, trying to help you.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
So these spirits eventually reincarnate, right?
Yes, but that doesn't mean they go away, because I've bumped into the ghost of my own past lives before. I believe that many cultures believe that there's two souls within each of you. The soul of, let's say, the God soul, the soul of that the higher soul that knows what your purpose was to come here and all that. And then there's the lesser soul, which is not that it's evil. I mean, it's lesser as it's not the God soul, that develops the personality of the life that you're in now. Now it might be that one that stays behind, and the other one can be reborn into another, you know, be the seed of yet another person. So why you can have several lives and maybe still not be pulled all together. So there's the in-between lives, there's the past lives, and there's the afterlife, and then there's you.
Let's go to Gordon, Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Gordon, good to have you back.
Hey, thank you. How's it going, Mary and George? Thank you for my call. You were mentioning babies that were dying, and I've researched this, and according to a lot of preachers, when a baby is killed, they'll go to heaven forever. But that's actually not true, because, number one, according to most of these religions, you have to have faith to get to heaven, and the baby didn't have faith. And my research indicates the baby will probably go to some place like the millennium, a place where, let's put it this way, if God was telling women that have handicapped children, killing the kid would increase the eternal odds, God would be tempting the women to kill the children, and I don't believe that God is like that. And so I wanted to throw that out there, that there's probably, you know, that the kid will get some chance to exercise free will. We don't know exactly when, and of course this is based on my religious text. I'm one of those Southern Baptists, but I just wanted to throw that out there and see what you thought of it.
What about, you know, the concept of, what is it, limbo in the Catholic Church? And you have to look at the spiritualist belief system that believes that there's many levels of heaven or hell, and there might be a place just for babies that grow and are nurtured by spirit moms that take care of them. There's many belief systems in the past that believe that if a baby wasn't baptized, they wouldn't be able to go to heaven. So, you know, there's a thousand beliefs that would just contradict each other, which I don't, you know, each religion has just a little different take on it. A lot of people believe that no one goes to heaven until the day of judgment, that we're all kind of waiting. So, this, you know, you can rack your brain crazy to go over on the wise, but the spirit children have certain people that, many of the people that died, like my mom, for example, is a spirit mom, and a few others take care of babies until wherever they have to go. And when you die, you probably have to go through some kind of indoctrination on the other side to see where you have to go, kind of like a training.
So you're not scared of spirits, are you?
Me or him?
You.
Me?
You.
No.
At all?
No, I'm not scared of them. I mean, that's it. There's been one or two that I've shied away from around, but in generally, no. No, I'm not afraid of them.
But you've had a few bad episodes with them.
Doesn't mean I'm afraid of them. I mean, I had a few bad episodes in my car, but I still drive.
All right, that's a good point. Mary, thank you. Good luck with the book, Hauntings, Horrors, and Dancing with the Dead, True Stories from the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, Bloody Mary. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.